The New York Giants had their third OTA practice on Thursday, and there were some interesting takeaways to be had, something with the kicker battle, something with Jackson Dart, something with Arvell Reese. So we're going to go ahead and dive right into it in today's episode and react to what went down at OTA practice number three. This was the first OTA practice available to the media, so the New Jersey beat reporters were all there. There were some great takeaways that we can pull from what they had to say when they were there. And yes, usually I react to these OTA practices and then post the episode the next day, a day in between, because yesterday we had to react to, of course, Joe Shane being extended as the New York Giants general manager. But today we're going to go ahead and dive into Thursday's practice, give you guys a takeaway, and also give you guys kind of a recap of the first three OTA practices and what you can take away from all three of those practices that have already taken place as we head into next week, where there's going to be another set of practices before mini camp, which is going to take place around June 8th or June 10th. So we're going to go ahead, waste no more time, dive right in. This is Fireside Giants presented by Prize Picks. I'm Anthony Rivardo. Let's talk about New York Giants OTA practice number three. So I'm going to pull up the practice report from Giants.com and give you guys a few of my takeaways. Now, here's one that I think is going to surprise some people. We're going to start in the secondary and talk about Deonte Banks. Apparently, he had a pretty good practice on Thursday. This is what was written by John Schmelk in the Giants practice report, quote, Deonte Banks had great coverage down the right sideline early in practice and again later during high red zone drills to prevent a touchdown. He also got near the quarterback on a corner blitz. So, not too bad. I've said this before and I'll say it again. Deonte Banks has never played in the NFL in a scheme that truly fit him. I think that kind of the Wink Martindale scheme fit him, but even then, I thought it was a lot of man coverage and he's better in zone. Last year with Shane Bowen and the year prior, it was way too much man coverage. That's why these Giants cornerbacks were struggling so badly, especially because it was off man coverage. So it was really difficult to jam at the line of scrimmage. But Deonte Banks, he's a jam cornerback and he loves to play zone. I actually think this Denard Wilson defense is perfect for him. Not that I'm banking on him having a great big career turnaround or anything, but if he's going to turn things around, if he's going to get better, it'll be in this Denard Wilson defense. So I'm actually going to continue to keep a close eye on Deonte Banks throughout the spring and the summer as well when we get to training camp. So keep an eye on Deonte Banks. Let's talk about Arvell Reese because he has been awesome all throughout OTAs. He's been impressing everybody. He was impressive during rookie minicamp. And of course, he was hella impressive during his Ohio State career. We all know what a beast Arvell Reese has the potential to be for the New York Giants. That's why they took him fifth overall. So last week or earlier this week, when we did a couple of OTA recaps and takeaways, we talked about Arvell Reese in coverage. And that's, again, popping up here on the practice report. He's been dropping back into coverage a lot, of course, from that Will linebacker spot as an inside linebacker. He's not an edge rusher. He's not purely pass rushing. So he is getting plenty of reps in run defense and in coverage. And according to the practice report and according to all of the reporters who were there, like Jordan Renan and Art Stapleton, everybody was saying how fluid he looks in coverage, how great his change of direction looks already, and just the fact that he's communicating, reading plays, and doing a great job in coverage from the inside linebacker position. So that's something pretty positive that we can take away, of course, for Arvell Reese. If there was one criticism that draft analysts had about Arvell Reese, it probably was his ability to play in coverage. He played a lot more as a downhill enforcer against the run in college, and he also played a lot as a QB spy, and of course moved over and played a lot of pass rushing on the edge as well. Dropping back into coverage, he did do that, but not as often as you would probably like for a guy who projects to play full-time inside linebacker in this Giants defense. But he did it enough, and he, so far throughout OTAs, he's been doing it, and he's been doing it well. So definitely a positive takeaway here from the rookie as he transitions to the next level. So defensive tackles, let's go over this because, of course, the New York Giants did just lose Roy Robertson-Harris to a torn Achilles during Thursday's practice. We haven't really broken that down yet on the channel, but I'll go ahead and give my take on it right now. Roy Robertson-Harris, losing him for the season really sucks, especially to see somebody lose their season all the way early in May. It's just kind of a brutal moment here for Roy Robertson-Harris. Prayers go out to him, hoping that he has a quick and speedy and thorough recovery. Hate to see something like that happen. But for Roy Robertson-Harris and for the New York Giants, is this a massive loss to the interior of their defense? Probably not. I don't think it changes the course of the season. but it does make their interior defensive line room thin in an area where it already was thin for them on defense, right? The defensive tackle group that they had lacks experience. They brought in DJ Reader. They brought in Shelby Harris. Those two are highly experienced players. The other returning player with a decade of experience was Roy Robertson Harris. Now he's out for the year. So now that third starting defensive tackle, it's going to have to be somebody like a Zach Pickens, who they claimed off of waivers, a Leaky Fotu, who they signed to a one-year deal, or we're going to need these young guys like Darius Alexander, Bobby Jamison Travis, and the rest to step up. And that's my big takeaway from Roy Robertson Harris going down with this injury. The Giants thankfully did add bodies to this interior defensive line so that Roy Robertson Harris wasn't their number one defensive tackle in the room. Now they've got some other bodies, but also this does create an opportunity for these young guys. I want to see Darius Alexander step into the starting lineup and step up. I want to see Bobby Jamison Travis get some opportunities here on early downs and make an impact. So, of course, no pads on during these OTA practices and spring practices in general. But once we get to training camp, once the pads do come on without the veteran Roy Robertson Harris, who, mind you, did start 17 games for the Giants last year without him on the field, this is going to be an opportunity in summer for Darius Alexander, Bobby Jamison Travis, when the pads come on, to make an impact and impress the coaching staff. But the two defensive tackles that did appear in the scouting report yesterday were Zach Pickens, who I mentioned, and Leaky Fotu. Both of them had pressures on Thursday afternoon. And also Chauncey Golston, keep an eye on him. And this does pertain to Roy Robertson Harris being lost for the season. Last year, Chauncey Golston was a little bit of a ghost for the New York Giants defense. They signed him to be the rotational pass rusher during free agency. Then they drafted Abdul Carter, which kind of pushed Chauncey Golston down the depth chart even further. So Golston didn't see a ton of playing time last year, didn't make a ton of impact when he was on the field either, but he was pretty solid against the run on early downs when he was out there on the field. Plus, he is labeled as an edge rusher, but he's 277 pounds. He's an oversized edge rusher. And when he was with the Dallas Cowboys, when he had his career high, 5.5 sacks or whatever it was in 2024 with Dallas, he actually played a lot on the edge, but also moved inside. So he can play outside and inside. So when the New York Giants do want to get a little bit lighter in the trenches and get a little bit more pass rush out there, but still maintain some size and weight, Chauncey Golston could be the unlocking key here as they try to replace Roy Robertson Harris. Yes, he's a backup for Burns, Carter, and Thibodeau and a rotational edge rusher, but he also could be a rotational interior defender on third downs and maybe even on early downs as well with Roy Robertson Harris now lost for the season. So keep an eye on Chauncey Golston as he also had a very solid practice on Thursday, might have had a sack on a quick pass rush and a couple of other pressures as well. So definitely keep an eye on him. One more defender before we flip over to the offensive side of the ball and also talk about special teams, which I'm pretty excited to talk about. Actually, a couple more notes here. So I mentioned Arvell Reese in that linebacker core. He had an active practice coverage in on Devin Singletary on a wheel route down the sideline. Also had coverage on a flat completion to Tyrone Tracy Jr. that he was on top of. So pretty good stuff there. But also defensively, Bo Brady. If you guys remember, the Giants picked him up off of waivers midway through last season. He jumped in front of a pass deep down the middle of the field for an interception on Thursday and had another pass breakup later on. So keep an eye on him as the Giants try and sort out their secondary depth. Tremaine Edmonds also got into the backfield on a blitz for a sack. So that's exciting to see. And also one other takeaway just from the linebacker core in general, all of the reporters who were there made note of the size that the Giants have in their linebacker room. They were like, holy crap, it doesn't do you justice until you see Arvell Reese and Tremaine Edmonds in person. They are massive. The Giants have clearly upgraded the size of that linebacker room, which should absolutely help them in run defense this upcoming season. So I'm very excited about this new linebacker duo that the New York Giants have. And also Kayvon Thibodeau was in the backfield on a couple of different plays, had a would-be sack and a pressure. So some exciting stuff there. Just the defensive line has been super active getting pressures, but also these linebackers and Tremaine Edmonds and Arvell Reese generating plenty of excitement for the Giants defense, especially when it comes to run defense. So I'm going to flip over to the offensive side of the ball and discuss special teams. But first, before I do that, I want to give a quick shout out to the sponsor of today's episode, which of course is Prize Picks. Now, If you guys aren't playing Prize Picks, it's America's number one sports picks app. It's super easy to use. It's available in most states, including California, Texas, and of course, New York. And all you do, you pick more or less on a few of your favorite player stats, and you build a lineup. We have been having a lot of fun building these lineups, especially during this NBA playoff run that the New York Knicks are on. Two more wins. That's all they need, and they are in the finals. I am hoping and I'm praying they secure that. Game 3 tonight at 8 o'clock. I can't wait for that. So that's why, instead of doing some NFL future picks, we're going to take a look at some of these New York Knicks picks and make a few of them and build a lineup. So where I'm going to go with this is Mikal Bridges. I think Bridges has been excellent this postseason. He hasn't missed many shots. I mean, his efficiency from the field is incredible. He has been absolutely awesome. Plus, he's been pretty good defensively too. So big shout out to Mikal Bridges as one of the engines driving the Knicks through this postseason run. I'm going to take more points for him. Now, the Knicks are on the road here against the Cavaliers, which is why I think Donovan Mitchell, I think he's going to put up at least 20 points. I'm going to take more than 19.5. But also because they're on the road, I think Jalen Brunson is going to step up and have a massive performance to try and secure this win on the road. I mean, listen, on the road, things can get a little tricky in NBA games, of course. But Brunson, he is good anywhere, anytime. In fact, I think that on the road, he's kind of a demon. So I really love Jalen Brunson when he's on the road, especially in this crucial game where he has just been up to every single task. So I'm just going to go with those three picks, keep it light, keep it easy, and build this lineup. And guys, make sure that you do follow me on Prize Picks at Anthony Rivardo. You can see these picks before I even post them up here on YouTube and tail them if you'd like. And also make sure to check out Prize Picks down below in the description box and use code HMA when you sign up, and you will get $50 in lineups instantly when you play your first $5. So make sure to play responsibly, check out Prize Picks, and thank you to Prize Picks for sponsoring us on today's episode. Let's talk offense. Let's talk about Jackson Dart, because according to the reports, he's been pretty good at OTA so far. If you go over to New York Giants recap of the first 3 days of OTAs, sorry, as I was trying to navigate and find what I was looking for, they've had a lot of praise for Jackson Dart. If you look through all three of the practice reports, you look at the touchdowns, he hit Tyrone Tracy Jr. in the flat for a touchdown during red zone drills on Thursday afternoon, and that was with Arvell Reese in coverage. Apparently, Tyrone Tracy Jr. just barely beat Arvell Reese out, and Jackson Dart put it right on the money in a tight window for him, so that became a touchdown. And Jackson Dart's been playing with a good amount of confidence, according to these reports. He's been on time. He looks mechanically sound, and he spoke to the media the other day, and I want to give my take on this. No, I'm not talking about the most recent media appearance that he did in New Jersey. I'm going to talk about the media appearance that he had at the podium for the New York Giants at Quest Diagnostic Center. If you guys want my comments on the rest of the Jackson Dart stuff, I don't think you're going to get it just because this is what it is. I don't care. I just want to watch them play football, and that's that. I am all about football, and that's what this channel is all about. So we are going to be talking football. So Jackson Dart talked football a couple of days ago after OTA's practice, and he said that he feels more mobile than at any point in his NFL career. He said that he's leaner, but he's also still about the same weight, but he's feeling really good, and that the Giants are asking him to do a lot of different things that he's never done before. He's been playing more under center throughout OTAs. He's been doing a lot of play action, and Matt Nagy and the offensive coaching staff are giving him more control and authority at the line of scrimmage to kill plays, check plays, make audibles, and all of that stuff. Jackson Dart told the media that he's been given more authority, more command of the offense, and also this offense is very different from the one that he was in last year. If you guys go back to his film at Ole Miss, Jackson Dart, he didn't play a lot under center. It was a lot of pistol formation, a lot of shotgun formation, and a lot of RPOs. Not a lot of under center, drop back, play action, and then throw. That's what he's doing more of so far throughout OTAs in this Matt Nagy offense, which is something we can't expect. Now, that doesn't mean that the Giants aren't going to run out of the gun. Doesn't mean they're not going to have the pistol. Doesn't mean they're not going to have the RPOs. In fact, they are going to have all of that stuff. But they are also going to ask Jackson Dart to get under center a little bit more so that they can run the football more effectively. There's actually a lot of statistics, and it was Brett Coleman. I saw him do a video breaking this down recently that show how much more effective a running game is when it operates primarily under center in the NFL, that is. running the football from an under center formation, I think you average like a yard and a half more per carry on the ground. I think it was something, some sort of statistic similar to that, that Brett Coleman put out there. So that's why in the NFL, they put the centers, or they put the quarterbacks under center a lot more than they do in college. It's so that they can run the football more effectively from heavier alignments as well. The Giants have invested a lot into the size and the weight of this offense, adding a 300-pound fullback in Pat Ricard, adding a 6'5" tight end in Isaiah Likely, and adding a 6'5" receiver in Malachi Fields. All of those guys are big, strong, heavy, imposing players, and they're going to make an impact in run blocking this year. But a lot of that is going to happen from under center rushing attempts, especially with that extra fullback in the backfield with Isaiah Likely in line. And they brought back, of course, Chris Manhertz to be another inline blocker. They signed Tanner Connor as well, formerly with the Dolphins. He's a blocking tight end, and they still have Theo Johnson and Thomas Fedoni. A lot of tight ends on the roster right now. Expect to see a lot of 12, 13, and 22 personnel for the New York Giants this upcoming season, and expect to see those heavy packages while the quarterback is under center. So that's what they're focusing on so far throughout OTAs. Jackson Dart focusing on getting better under center and having more control and command of the offense at the line of scrimmage. Crucial things, necessary things for a quarterback going into the second season of his career, needing to take a step forward. So excited about all of that. Also, last detail on Jackson Dart. He also, while speaking to the media, they asked him, what about protecting your body? What about sliding? What about all of that stuff? Because that's been a narrative for him. He said that one of the first things he did with a new quarterbacks and passing quarterbacks coach and passing game coordinator, Brian Callahan, they sat down, went over the film on all of the hits that he took last year and decided when he should slide, when it was acceptable to take the hits that he did, and just went over it, how to protect your body better and making it a point that he needs to slide more. He can't miss games this upcoming season. That has been a major focus so far this spring between the coaching staff and Jackson Dart. And that should be welcomed news to a lot of New York Giants fans, especially the ones who have been critical of how often Jackson Dart was taking hits during his rookie season. He took too many of them. You guys know me. I like how aggressive he is. I like him fighting for yardage, but he needs to pick and choose his battles. There are times to fight for yardage and to pick up some extra yardage on the ground. There are times to dive for it. There are times to fight and attack. Those times are third down and short, fourth and short. Got to have it opportunities, not second and 10 running towards the sideline when you could get out of bounds and instead getting leveled by a Patriots linebacker. That's not the time. And so that's what Jackson Dart and Brian Callahan have reportedly been focusing on during these early portions and early meetings here during OTAs, how to protect his body better. Jackson Dart said that it killed him to be on the sideline and miss games last year. Doesn't want that to happen again. So hopefully stays true to his word, protects his body better, and we get 17 games out of Jackson Dart. That's what we are hoping to see this upcoming season. So last real detail that I have for you from Thursday's practice is the kicker battle. The Giants have three kickers battling right now, and that's Jason Sanders, Ben Sauls, and the new undrafted rookie out of Michigan, which is Dominic Savada. I think it was Art Stapleton. It might have been somebody else, though. Apologies if I'm crediting the wrong person here, but I think it was Art who tweeted on Thursday that the most clear positional upgrade that the Giants made this offseason, at least during OTAs, was kicker, because kicker looked so much better than last year. Last year, Ben Sauls was there with Jude McAdamney, with Graham Gonneau. Gonneau was in and out of the lineup. They were missing a lot of kicks at practice. They didn't look all that great. Well, apparently, all three of these guys, Ben Sauls looks better, even better than he did last year. He didn't miss a kick during the regular season last year. Jason Sanders is a former all-pro kicker. He's been great at OTAs. And Dominic Zavada, also the undrafted rookie, has been excellent. So the Giants have three solid options here at kicker, and I am pretty excited about that. Definitely relieved that we're not going to be having kicking issues this upcoming season. And we knew this would be a point of emphasis for John Harbaugh and his football program and his coaching staff. But I'm just happy to see that these rookies and that these veterans as well, just these kickers, are actually connecting and getting the ball through the uprights and making a positive impact on special teams. Keep an eye on special teams. Should be one of the pillars of this New York Giants football team with John Harbaugh as their new head coach. So definitely excited about that special teams update for you guys. They split reps throughout the week as well, by the way. So a couple of last minute notes here. from the Giants practice reports. There have been some one-handed catches. Malachi Fields had a sick one-handed catch. Isaiah Likely had a sick one-handed catch. So throughout the first 3 days of OTAs, I would say those have been the playmakers that have made some of the biggest impacts. I would say the three players that I've seen show up on the practice reports most often have been Isaiah Likely, Malachi Fields, and Calvin Austin III, the slot receiver, inside-outside receiver that the Giants signed this offseason. He's been a focal point in the offense so far for the New York Giants at OTAs. One of the biggest standout players for the defensive side of the ball has been Abdul Carter. He's been getting pressures throughout practices. He's quickly been in the quarterback's face often throughout OTAs. His bend around the edge has popped in every practice, and he's been wreaking havoc, honestly, throughout the first few OTA practices using speed, quickness, and flexibility to get into the backfield. Looks like a big year could be coming for Abdul Carter. Now, in terms of the rookies, it's been Arvell Reese. He's been catching everybody's eye, and he is totally filled out the 6'4", 243-pound linebacker frame that the Giants expected when they drafted him. He's looked massive, he's looked imposing, and he's been playing some good football in these practices. Also, Francis Maui-Noah, he's a 330-pounder. As you guys know, we did a breakdown on him recently. He doesn't look like he's carrying excess weight, according to the practice reports. He's been moving well. He looks really athletic for a guy his size, and so he's been having a good start to OTAs as well. So that's really the recap on everything from those first three OTA practices. If you guys missed OTA practice number one or two takeaways, just search it back on the channel and you will find it. We're doing this for every single Giants practice that they have during OTAs, mini camp, and training camp. So definitely stay tuned to Fireside Giants for more practice reports, updates, and takeaways. Leave a like if you enjoyed. Subscribe if you're new. Ring the bell. Make sure to comment your thoughts down below. Leave us a five-star review if you're listening on Apple or Spotify. And follow us on social media at Fireside Giants. And definitely check out Prize Picks down below in the description using code HMA. I'll catch you on the next one. Have a good one. And let's go New York Giants.